You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Basita, a.k.a. James Gurthy. You may know me as the founder of NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 293. Woo! On today's show, I'm joined by Andy Liu. You may know him from his Warriors coverage over at Warriors World. You may also know him from co-hosting the Light Years podcast. He's been covering the Warriors professionally for years, and before that, he followed the team as a fan for even longer. Together, the two of us are going to close the chapter on Mark Jackson once and for all, at least as this podcast is concerned. I can't promise that I won't bring him up in the coming days and weeks as it comes up in conversation, but I'm not going to go out of my way to bash the guy. Just these two episodes, and then we'll move on. On Tuesday, we talked, of course, about all the extra stuff outside the confines of the court that makes Mark Jackson a less than ideal candidate. Today, we're going to talk more about Mark Jackson, the coach. Now, some of that extra stuff bleeds into the conversation because it's basically impossible to separate the two. But we talk about the bad and the good of Mark Jackson as a coach. I try to be fair. Obviously, I'm biased in that I think he is the wrong person for the job. But listen to find out what Andy has to say about this. Andy is someone who's covered the Warriors for years and been following them for even longer than that. We're going to find out what Andy thinks the Warriors could have done if they kept Mark Jackson as coach. Would they have won a championship? I don't know. You're going to have to listen to find out. What positives would Mark Jackson bring to the Knicks if they did hire him? And would those positives be worth it? We're also going to talk about whether or not Trae Young is the next Steph Curry. Before we get started, just a little bit of a warning. It gets a little... If you're familiar with the episode of The Simpsons where Homer always is kind of his worst self when he's around this goat, you know, Marge gets upset. She's like, Homer, every time you're with that goat, bad things happen. And then you see like a montage of them like running through weddings and stuff. Well, Andy is kind of my goat. I get a little saucy when I talk to Andy. So there's a few more cuss words than usual. If you listen with your young kids, you might want to skip this one. Just fair warning. All right? All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
Before we bring in Andy, I want to address, there's just one person who's had a problem so far. At least who's let me know they've had a problem with my coverage. Mark Jackson. Someone on Twitter today said, you've got bias. You're biased against Mark Jackson. And like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm biased based on everything I've ever read and heard about the guy. I got nothing against Mark Jackson, the person. I've got lots of things against Mark Jackson, the person that I know through the media's coverage of him. I'll fully admit, I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong about Mark Jackson. It's possible that everything that I've ever read about him, anything, everything I've ever heard about him on a podcast, all the off-the-record stuff I've heard from people talking about this who know much more than I do, it's possible that it's all wrong, right? There's very little that I've actually seen him do other than his multiple obnoxious things that he says, you know, as an announcer. It's also possible that you can hit 100 contested mid-range shots in a row in the NBA. It's possible. It's technically possible. I just don't believe it's going to happen. And I don't believe that everything I've heard about Mark Jackson is false. I'm playing the percentages here. And if I'm running the Knicks, there's far too much for me to ignore. Now, this guy said, well, you know, if you're going to get on, you know, Jackson for the stuff he did as a player in Utah and all these other things he's done, you know, leading up to now, why you need to apply the same standard to everyone. And he brought up Stackhouse, who had a reputation for punching a few dudes in the head when he was a player. Now, first of all, one of the most well-known stories about Stackhouse is he punched this dude in the head. He was being dirty. The guy was being dirty during the game, he thought. After the game, he confronted him. He beat him up a little bit. And like years later, the guy came back and thanked him for beating him up. I don't know all the details about it, but that tells me maybe the guy had it coming to him. Look, I'm not advocating violence. Do I think violence is the answer? No. And I don't want to like completely gloss over some potential warning signs of Jerry Stackhouse being a violent individual. But I haven't heard any rumors of Stackhouse punching anyone, anywhere, after his playing days. In the heat of the moment, in like a machismo culture. It doesn't exactly excuse it. But I haven't heard anything troubling. Like, I haven't heard about him punching his players in the head. I haven't heard about him punching the owner of the Raptors in the head or anyone in upper management in the head. Now, full disclosure, I have punched a few dudes in the head, so maybe I'm biased. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not some tough guy. But I was young once, and I've made mistakes. So maybe I'm just predisposed to, you know, giving guys another chance who have punched guys in the head when they're young. That's possible. And I just wanted to put that out there for you guys so you can make your own informed decisions when deciding how to evaluate the information that I give you. But I will tell you this. The only thing that I want is for the Knicks to make the right choice. If I'm guilty of anything, it's being biased toward the men in orange and blue. And I'm terrified that they will make the wrong decision. So I'm doing whatever I can to help make sure that doesn't happen. And in this instance, that means trying in whatever way I can to help shape a narrative that we, the fans, do not want this guy. Because I'm convinced it's in the best interest of the team. I don't even know if Mark Jackson likes the Knicks. I'm here for the rest of my life. Whether he comes or goes, I'm sticking around. So I want to make sure they make the right decision. All right? Whew. That being said, let's bring in Andy. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network in the entire world, son. All right, Andy. So the other day, I recorded a podcast called Mark Jackson is Too Extra to Coach the Knicks. And we got into all the nonsense that he's done off of the court. And, you know, well, all is being, you know, I don't think we could possibly cover every like little ridiculous thing that he's gotten into off the court. But we covered most of it. We got into a little bit of his like coaching acumen. But I just wanted to make sure I really made the case for why Mark Jackson sucks, because so many Knicks fans like him so much. So we split it up into all the extra bullshit. And now today with you, you know, if we get into some extra bullshit, that's fine too. But I want to focus on his coaching. You obviously, you know, have followed the Warriors as a fan. You have covered them professionally. So just like right out of the gate, I mean, I'm not crazy for not wanting this guy to coach the Knicks, right?
No, you're not. I don't know Mark Jackson as a player for the Knicks, so I actually don't know if you guys like him or not. And that's the other thing, because you guys might have some type of attachment to him as a player, and I don't.
Yeah, but I mean, growing up in my age, like I was the perfect age to hate him as a Pacers opponent. So like, I don't even have these warm and fuzzy feelings for him. I remember him on the Knicks, but he's not like my guy. He left, and he was a main antagonist, you know, along with Reggie Miller. Like, so I'm like, get this bum out the paint on every level.
I mean, shoot, if you don't have attachment to him, so that's the only thing. Like, my thing is, I was like, oh, you know, maybe you guys like him. And, right. You know, Stephen Curry, maybe if some other mediocre guy came back and said, hey, maybe if Patrick McCall 10 years from now comes back and, like, wants to be a coach for us, I'd be like, oh, hey, you know, like, you want a couple championships, you know, that'd be nice. But, hey, if that's not the case, then you're good. I mean, you have full freedom. You have my blessing to just not give a crap about this. about the Knicks wanting to have him as a coach. I mean, dude, I covered my first season covering the Warriors, and I was straight out of college, was Mark Jackson's last year. Uh-huh. And he's synonymous. And he's like, he's gotten more famous, and his reputation as a coach to people that don't know what happened has gotten better through the years because the Warriors have won two titles and are who they are, right? And like that kind of makes Mark Jackson better. And then people are like, oh, Mark Jackson's the guy that he's the one that made the Warriors who they are. And then Steve Kerr came back and, you know, he had all this talent in place. No. When Mark Jackson was the coach of the Warriors, he held this team back from becoming who they are.
Yes. Now I'm like Dark Kermit right now. Do it, Andy. Do it.
So here's the prefacing so that I don't completely bag on him, because you got to do this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually, but I am. He helped Steph and he helped Clay grow into the type of confident players that they are. So you can kind of think of the Warriors as this team. You were at a certain age where you're grown up and you kind of didn't know that you were like this great yet.
Sure.
If you're a confident person, you're like, you didn't know you were this great yet, and you just needed somebody to tell you. And Steph didn't know yet, and Clay didn't know yet. And so this guy came along, and he has a ton of bravado. And really, the only freaking thing that he was good at was just telling those guys that they were really good at shooting the ball.
And even right? that, I mean, do you think, did he like really, did he have any like special insight into them? Or would he just gas up anyone? Like, was he gassing up everyone on the team? Or did he actually focus on that? Not that this makes him like, you know, bound for the Hall of Fame or anything, but like.
He wouldn't. I mean, there are going to be times where he was not a fan of like Festus Ezeli, and there would be stories being the truth of where he would kind of bring guys down like Festus and Harrison Barnes and guys like that. So he would gas guys up, but that's Steph, that's Draymond Green, that's Klay Thompson.
Okay,
right? He wasn't a big fan. He was a religious guy. So Andrew Bogut. Back then, Andrew Bogut, being not the racist that we know him today, back then, you know, him being just a regular white dude, we're like, hey, we feel bad for Andrew Bogut. He's not religious.
It's funny because I haven't even brought up any Bogut-related stuff because I just don't want to use him in, like, a positive light or, like, to bolster my point at all. I'm like, get this guy out of here. Him and Richard Spencer.
I remember being like, yo, like, I kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, you know, Andrew Bogut's not. He's not. Back then, I was like, he's not a bad dude. He's just not religious. He's just not including anything. They don't really mess with him like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a weird chasm between, you know, the religious part of the team and then everyone else. And that was another weird thing that Mark Jackson really loved playing into. And really, the Warriors liked it. I mean, Iguodala, Steph, Draymond. These guys are religious people.
Uh-huh.
And I can go into that later as well, but. That's not really the main point, but it's just all these things that Mark Jackson played behind the scenes, and he would just make him such a, basically he was the most insecure, not coach that, not that I've ever covered. I've only ever covered Kerr and Jackson, but he was so insecure that it was just weird.
Yeah. That's like a good, I mean, that's a good insight, and it makes a lot of sense. Like, cause a lot of people front and they pretend to be the opposite of what they are. Like, and he is so outwardly, I am the greatest ever. So for him to be like, I'm insecure, I mean, for you to be like, he's insecure, to me, I'm like, yeah, I see that. But what made you say that?
So there were, so I there's one story. I mean, there's a bunch of other ones, but this one, it kind of hits home for me because I didn't know how anybody was. I was young. I wasn't around anything. And I walked, I remember they had, this is his last season, so they had won a certain amount of games, but guys weren't that happy. I mean, the players were okay with it, but the fans were like, you know, like, hey, we made the playoffs last year. We should be better than this. You know what I mean? We should be winning like 55 games. Instead, they had only won like 50. Uh-huh. We should be winning 55, 60. And management wasn't happy. Jackson knew that. And he came after a game. He sat down in the press conference, and really it was to just the media, and I would assume the rest of the people that are watching. He basically lectured us for like 5 minutes of just straight him talking and, I guess, preaching. Just saying, this is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Warriors team that you have seen in the last 15 years. And honestly, he's probably right.
Right.
You should expect and respect this type of greatness that the Warriors are showing. You know, this is something that you should be happy about, that you should be proud of. And this is like what he's talking about, and he's what he's telling us. And I'm sitting there like, dude, who the hell, who cares what I think? Like, who cares what any fan thinks? If you're secure in what you've done either this season or in your tenure as a coach, it doesn't matter. And you can just tell, and I'm just sitting there looking at him, and I'm just like, what is wrong with this dude? Because he's just going off about how great the Warriors are and how happy you should be. These are your expectations. And I was just like, man. And by the end of his tenure, he was not talking to media anymore. He was snappy. He was giving all like that type of press conference all the time. And so that type of thing was, he was starting to lose grip with, like, you know, I think he knew he was on his way out. But that type of thing where that's not what you want from a leader of, you know, I guess a leader of men, but really a leader of adults or anybody that's working in an
right,
environment.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, if they are so great, like, their play will speak for themselves. Like, you don't need to, the louder you insist something, like, the less I believe it. You know what I mean? It's one thing to gas up your players to be like, you're awesome or whatever, but to be like, to look at, like, a, you know, neutral, maybe not, but a third party observer who's like watching you and be like, no, I'm telling you we're great. That is like a little strange.
Hey guys, quick reminder that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks.
But so, like, what was he doing to hold these guys back offensively? Let's talk about that. Like, what was the problem there? Why couldn't he unlock these guys? What was his deal?
So, yeah, from an X's and O standpoint, man, just to think back on it, I just, it's like remedial English. You know how, like, you know how if you flunk, you got to go back and you got to take, like, man, I don't even know what an example of remedial English, but just something where you, it's basic. Like, the stuff he doing was basic. Like, he would just run, which is interesting because as a guy that follows the Warriors, all the Warriors fans want them to do now is run pick and roll with Steph. And all they did back then with Mark Jackson was either only pick and roll or ISO with Steph and Jared Jack. That's it on offense. Like, there would be no imagination. It would just be, like, truly, you know how, like, 90s people would be like, yo, back then, like, they were all tough and this and blah, blah, blah. Literally, his offense would be give it to Steph, give it to Jared Jack, pray.
I mean, well, he was probably, no, like, pray, yeah.
No pun intended, but that was an accident.
he was probably, like, back in my day, MJ did it himself. Like, go out there. That was the best guy. Go out there. Do it. Like,
do it.
Did anyone ever, like, call him on it? Were they like, yo, what are you running? Like, why are we not?
You mean from the player perspective?
Or either or, like, from player or media. Was he ever questioned about, you know, what he was running out there?
Well, from media, I think he was questioned. He was, and he saw the criticism. And I think management knew this as well. That's why he was acting the way he was by the end. And there's a lot of other things that he did weird, too. I do want to bring him up, but
We can get into him. I mean, if it's pretty simple, like, what he was messing up, I mean, we got a little bit of time.
Not that, like, just kind of weird anecdotes to where like, this guy, like, they're, like, just him losing control, like, him reassigning Brian Scalabrine, like,
yeah,
that type of stuff randomly. Yeah. Darren Erman would wear a microphone, like, he would wear a secret wiretap.
So we brought that up the other day, but, like, what was actually going on there? Was it because he was worried he was being misrepresented or something? Or was he a psychopath too, and Jackson was just bringing in crazy people?
Erman? No, he wasn't. He was a normal guy, and he got a job right after, which kind of tells you all you need to know. And,
uh-huh.
And there's a reason why Mark Jackson is not yet to be hired. Like, and this is Mark Jackson is not hired outside of just X's and O's. Mark Jackson is not hired as a coach so far in the past couple of years because of him as a person.
Right.
And the antics that he did outside of it. Right. There's a lot of, like, there are dumber coaches in the NBA. Like, there's some dumb, like, you look at the Milwaukee freaking Bucks. That's a dumb head coach. And Mark Jackson is probably just, you know, probably right there. Like, and there are other coaches in the NBA that are probably worse than Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is not, if he was likable by Joe Lacob and the rest of that team, and they had said a good word about him, he'd be hired way before.
Right. But
he's where he is today because of him as a person, making Festus and blaming Festus Ezeli and making him cry in the locker room and saying, like, hey, he's the reason why, you know, guys aren't playing well on the court. It's Festus. He doesn't want to play well, or just kind of just like throwing guys under the bus, right? And then with Darren Erman, he did that where he would just rail on him during team meetings and stuff like that, to the point where Erman was like, look, listen, like, I need stuff to back myself up. I can't do this anymore, right? That type of stuff. Okay. Like, that's the type of stuff that's not getting him hired. Not because he's running pick and roll only, because at the end of the day, like politics and stuff like that, like, guys are going to get hired if you're likable. Right. And if people like you. If Steph comes out here and Steph goes, hey, like, Mari Jackson was good, I like him, I mean, he'll probably be hired the next 2 years ago.
If that's the case, then, if he stuck around, do you think they could have won a championship with him? Like, is it really? I'm trying to tease out, like, how much is it really his personality? Like how much do you think he held him back? I know it's kind of impossible to answer on some level, but.
Oh, in terms of on the court?
Yeah. Like,
an enormous amount. Everything that the. Okay, so let's break it down. Offensively, what he held him back from an imagination standpoint, playing Steph off the ball, allowing the imagination of Draymond Green to dribble, to bring the ball up to playmake, Andre Iguodala, he held him back too. Harrison Barnes grew into a very solid 3-and-D player, no matter how much we hate him, or Warriors fans do, grew into a solid player. And then maximizing the bench. So Andrew Bogut, Leandro Barbosa, Maurice Bates. These guys aren't great at basketball. But under a system that maximizes who Steph is, it allows everyone else to be good. So to answer your question, in can they win a championship with him as a head coach if he had stayed for 4 years? Absolutely not. And then on defense, Warriors were good on defense. They were they were top 10 with Mark Jackson, I believe. And with Steve Kerr and namely Ron Adams, they became the best defense. And to me, still, anytime they could turn it up, the Warriors are the best defense in the league, and it's not close. I don't care what the Spurs have done or anybody else. That's the best defense, and that's not Mark. That has nothing to do with what Art Jackson put in place. That's all Ron Adams and Steve Kerr understanding that we can play Draymond Green at the five. And again, they got lucky, Draymond Green at the five, to figure that out. But when they figured it out, when David Lee got hurt, they were able to do that and then employ or deploy the host of wings that they have: Livingston, Iguodala, Clay, Harrison Barnes, everybody that they had, and then play that small ball lineup. No way that happens with Mark Jackson. So that's the other thing. I think that's the main one that makes the Warriors great, because on offense, Steph always would have figured it out. Has nothing to do with any coach. He could have been coached by Andy Lou.
That's what
he would have still been that great.
I mean, when people talk about, like, these all-time great players, like, you really think the coach is that much of a like Phil Jackson had anything to do with Michael Jordan being Michael Jordan, or, you know, or Pat Riley, like, made Magic Johnson Magic Johnson. Like, all you could do is get out of these guys' ways. Like, when you're talking about someone that good, like, it's crazy. And I'm actually very glad to hear you say that they couldn't have won a, because people just acted like, oh, that was the natural arc of the team. Foregone conclusion: if he stuck around, they would have won. Well, I was gonna say, you kind of mentioned offhand that they, but Kerr and who's the other guy? It's like your lead assistant,
Ron Adams. Yeah, that's the defensive guy.
Ron Adams. They like lucked into Draymond. What was the story there again?
So they, Steve Kerr, when he started, he sat Iguodala down and he brought him off the bench. And so to buy into that, as your resident Steph fan, to buy into that, it took him and Steph to buy in and say, hey, okay, we're okay with, you know, Iguodala coming off the bench. But what's funny is David Lee was supposed to be the starting four next to Andrew Bogut. And then David Lee got hurt, and so they were forced to start Draymond Green. And Draymond Green Wally pipped him said, hey, like, he became the guy that on defense, you just couldn't take him off the court. Because no matter the fact that this dude couldn't shoot, it didn't matter. When he was on the floor, good things happened. Screening, passing, finishing, defending, all that stuff. So he lucked into that. Steve Kerr had no idea, and he'll admit it every time. He had no idea that Draymond Green would become this good.
But that's not the only – because I read some stat about how the Warriors were like last in the league in number of passes made per game under Jackson. So that's not all just when it's in. I guess what I'm saying is Draymond Green's not the only reason that changed. It was just Jackson's
that
whole
offensive system was Kerr, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that type of passing, that was all Kerr, like regardless of Draymond or if it was David Lee, because David Lee is and was a good passer. Mm-hmm. So regardless of that, that passing, that system he instilled, that was all Kerr, though. That first year that he coached, man, that Warriors team could pass. That was like side to side screening off ball action, because that was the main thing with Jackson on offense. It's that you had two guys. You would run a Steph Carl Landry pick and roll or Jared Drack Carl Landry pick and roll, and then he would come off of that, and then he would make one pass, and that was it. And so you'd have two guys just standing there, and then everybody, like the Warriors contingent of media or anybody, would just say, hey, like, we need to figure something out to do on the back end. Let's have some movement. Never did it. And then when Kerr, who didn't run any pick and roll, all he did was movement, it became like, oh, this is how you run an offense. And what's funny is the players didn't know that. Like, Steve Kerr, Draymond, they didn't know any better. Clay don't care about anything, but they didn't know any better. They were just like, hey, we're okay with Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
We're cool with that.
It's crazy that is somehow, like, I'm not saying that Kerr is not a great offensive coach, but it's crazy that kind of thing passes for like genius. Because I saw this with the Knicks all year this year. Like, even if they did run a pick and roll, which for the Knicks was like, oh my God, thank God, like hallelujah, we're running pick and rolls now. Like, they were so ancient a couple years ago with the shit they were doing. Like, everyone else on the team just stands there, and you're like, what the hell? Like, why does it take? You really are okay with all season long. Like, every time there's a high pick and roll, everyone else just standing there and doing nothing. Like, never any off-ball movement. And I don't know. That's why when people, like, talk about the genius of coaches, like, there are, like, genius coaches, I guess. But I feel like it's more about their management of their, like, players' egos and that kind of thing than even, like, I don't think it takes some, like, towering, like, Manhattan Project-style genius, like, oh my God, I created the atom bomb, to, like, run a good offense. And that's what's so frustrating to me when someone does such a lazy offense with, like, so little movement.
Well, you got to get the right players, too. And you got to get guys, because, like, at the end of the day, like, I mean, like you're saying, you got to get the, you can have a great system, but if you don't get, because a lot of these guys are, I mean, the Warriors had it. They weren't. It's not like they were coming into the league, right? Like Steph and Clay and Dre and Andre, these guys were already there. It wasn't like these guys have been playing a certain way their whole life in the NBA. So it wasn't like, hey, you were going to teach these guys something new all of a sudden. You got to have guys that are willing to do it. And Clay's willing to do it. Steph is willing to do it. Andre and Draymond are willing to do it. And some of it's willing to do it out of necessity, because it's like, dude, Draymond and Harrison, like, you guys aren't running pick and rolls. Like, we don't want you guys running pick and rolls. What you guys should be doing is setting a screen, running a back cut, and if you get the pass it to someone else who's making a back cut, or pass it to someone else who's coming off the screen, like that type of stuff. So it was like the perfect set of players that allowed them to pass and screen and cut. Because, I mean, you put together some of these guys, but we don't talk about the Knicks, but you just look at something like the Phoenix Suns, like a young team that needs a coach, right? It needs a system. Like Marquise Chris and Dragon Bender, like, you got these guys that aren't smart. Like, they don't know how to play basketball.
Marquise Chris is like, I don't know what that dude is doing.
Like, but like, can you imagine those guys trying to run a system? You
talk
know
about,
like,
extra. If Marquise Chris were a Knick in the 1980s, all the Knicks fans would be like, we got to hire Marquise Chris to be our head coach.
Yeah, that guy's not running an offense. That guy's trying to run. That guy's trying to, like, JaVale McGee, you know, or something like that. So it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, JaVale McGee is a good example. Like, you try to fit him into Warriors offense, and he can only do one thing. You just run him running off the screens, you know, dunking alley-oops, right?
Right.
So, like, it don't matter how great the system is. If you're JaVale McGee and you don't have the highest basketball IQ, it don't matter. It's just Kerr got lucky and lucked into a position where he's got a ton of high IQ players. And it's like, okay, well, we got a ton of high IQ players. Let's play a certain way. And it just worked out. And so that doesn't work when you're a Mark Jackson, who, you know, is not only probably not a great person, he's also not the smartest X-O guy. And now all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're like, all right, well, what can this guy actually do for you? Hey, I will say this, though. I will say this for the Knicks: if it does happen and you guys end up hiring Mark Jackson, if you have young players, he is really good at instilling the type of confidence that can make players stars. Because they're, I mean, all players are going to be confident, but you're still going to need a coach that nurtures them, right? So it's like he's like a good coach that can get you to where you're in the precipice to where you need a great coach. I guess it's like if you think of Giannis or someone who had Jason Kidd and Giannis kind of likes him, it's like you need that type of coach at the beginning of your career. So I don't know if Neil Kina is going to be a superstar. Or maybe
I mean, I've said this, for most people who don't follow him closely, they would think it's ridiculous. Like, I think he could be an all-star. I'm not saying, like, every year all-star, but, like, I think he could peak and, like, hit an all-star team. I don't know. Like, his defense is so sick, like, already, and he's got a long way to go offensively, and that doesn't always work out, obviously, but he's shown a lot of flat. Like, you brought him up. I mean, and he's a great example of someone who could use confidence. Like,
there you go.
I mean, he looks, I mean, like you said, they're all confident on some level. Like, they've been the best player in lots of situations growing up and all that stuff. But he's like a young French dude, and, you know, like he's 19. But I think you need to find someone who can gas him up who's not just as insane as Mark Jackson. Like, there's got to be, that's my whole thing with him. For all the stuff that he does well, like, there's someone else who can do that who doesn't have all this other shit. Like,
well, yeah, I was trying to take the high.
No, I like that. I appreciate it.
That's why, yeah, though that's the only reason. That's like, if you want a guy like Mark Jackson's going to put Neil Keelan in, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but Frankie, he's going to put him in these situations where it allows him to grow. And it's like, hey, you have the ball, figure it out, right? And he'll get really good at maybe averaging, you know, 16 points on, I assume he'll shoot a high percentage just because he's athletic and he's long and he can get to the rim. So, like, that type of thing. And then he'll have Porzingis, and Porzingis is still pretty young, and he'll have him averaging, like, 27. Like, I can see that absolutely. He might run him to the ground. His usage rate will be crazy. And Porzingis actually got run into the ground last year, I think, right? That's why he got hurt. So that might be a bad thing. I mean, he was whining about being tired.
He said he was tired. He said he was tired. He wasn't playing, like, Thibodeau minutes, though. It wasn't like, but they weren't really giving him these strategic rest days, I'll say that. But
I feel for him.
His minutes weren't so bad. They weren't so bad.
I feel for him. He said he was tired and guys went off on him.
I know. Could you imagine being, like, he's only 22. Like, I'm exhausted when, like, I got to stand for 10 extra minutes to wait for the subway. I'm like, oh, man, I'm bitching to my girlfriend. Like, you're 22 years old. You're, like, flying around every day. And one day you accidentally say to the media you're tired. And it's like, you little bitch, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I saw that and I was like, look, guys, like, he's the center. He's 22. He's taking all the shots on offense. And if he's playing center, he's also protecting the rim on defense. This isn't like you're Steph Curry and you can take a rest on defense, which he doesn't take a rest on defense. But if you were him, like, if I were him, I would just play offense. And who cares about guarding other point guards, right? Who gives a crap? Can't guard him anyway. And he can't guard him anyway, so who cares? But, like, if you're Porzingis, like, who cares about defense, you know what I mean, if I were him? But, you know, the guy tries, and he has a chance to be great on both sides, and he's going to be tired. And so, you know, that I thought that was really tough on him.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. And he's, I mean, he's already a really good rim protector. Like, their defense went from something like 15th in efficiency to dead last after he got injured. So he was busting his ass, for sure. The Knicks are in the middle of a coaching search right now, and I'm curious, obviously, because we're talking about, you know, Mark Jackson, but I haven't really heard Ron Adams' name mentioned much. What's his, like, arc in the league? Where is he? Are people considering him for coaching jobs? I haven't heard his name yet. Is there a reason for that? What's going on with him?
Yeah, he's an old guy. So he's an older person. And, man, I forget who he coached. I should know this. I really should. Who he coached before. But he had coached KD earlier in his career at OKC, and then he moved over to a couple other stops that he was superb in. So he's known as a defensive coach, and he could, if he wanted to, have ever become a head coach. The thing with him is he doesn't want to. So that kind of, like, puts a kibosh on the whole thing.
Well, that's really interesting.
He's content with kind of just laying in the back.
He just doesn't want that, like, I need to take 2 months off because I'm dying. I'm literally dying of stress. Like,
yeah.
Lifestyle.
He sees what Steve Kerr has gone through, and you know, even Luke Walton, when he took over that realm, and And I mean, like, you look at the Warriors, and that's the team where, you know, you kind of look at, and if you're going to be a great coach, that's the pressure you go through, right? Steve Kerr gets criticized for, despite the fact that this dude is, like, the winningest head coach of all time, for not running enough pick and rolls. Like, he gets roundly criticized by Warriors fans. And so, you know, you look at him, and you're like, you know, it's not so bad just running the defense. And, I mean, dude, Ron Adams is probably the smartest guy on the coaching staff.
That's interesting. Right? I mean, it's crazy. The environment, man. Like, I just, like, love basketball. It's, like, my favorite sport by far. I got into this thing because, like, I like watching it and talking about it. And there's just this whole – it might even be the majority of subset of fans that's just, like – for them, it's and just people around the sport, it's about being like, you fucking idiot. Like, and that's all. I'm like, I just like basketball, man. And they're like, you fucking idiot. Like, and they want to, like, take you to court and, like, lawyer you up with, like, these facts and quoting shit. And, like, facts are important. I'm not trying to say facts don't matter and stats and all that. I believe that's interesting. But it's this, like, obsession with, like, proving how dumb everyone is and proving how smart you are. And on like on a much more like this is like a good thing, but I think we need to push back a little bit now because I'm kind of seeing this with Mark Jackson. There for the longest time, sports talking heads were like the biggest idiots, and there's still a lot of that. But there are so many people who are all about hot takes. Obviously, that now there's like this whole cottage industry of. Well, I shouldn't call it. I don't know because it's
like,
good.
I like cottage industry.
Yeah, a cottage industry of smart people who know what they're talking about. But people are so afraid of being like a hot taker that they will go out of their way to like not criticize someone who's obviously a maniac, like Mark Jackson. When we should just rally around the fact that the guy is like off his rocker.
Yeah, and Mark Jackson's a curious case, though. I mean, I guess to bring it back to him, it's just that there are always going to be things about guys that. Like you can't say on the record, right? But with Mark Jackson, I think a lot of it is that you don't like people don't know actually off the record what he's done, like just off the record and off the court. Just some of the stuff that we talk about, like the stuff that he said. These have been reported on what he did to Festus Ezeli, what he's done Darren Erman. Like, oh, this is public knowledge, but people don't read, you know, those type of pieces, right? They read. And they watch ABC on Sundays, and you hear Jeff Van Gundy vouching for him as a coach, right? And then, like, you only see the stuff where, oh, Mark Jackson made the playoffs, and he led the Warriors to the playoffs, right? And he got them to the second round. That's the type of stuff that's famous and popular, not the type of stuff that you know about him off the court that's been reported on, but, like, nobody cares about.
It is.
It's like, yeah.
It's interesting, and you see it with, like, it bleeds into like Trump supporter type stuff where you're so used to being someone like I'm sure you are as I am who like can consume a ton of information online, like does consume it, can sift garbage from not garbage. And then you meet people who not only can't sift, but haven't even exposed themselves to it. You're like, what are you doing? Like there are still a huge segment of society, like you said, who like their main exposure to media is like ABC. Like, as much as we live online and, like, Deadspin is, like, passe or whatever, for, like, most people, they've never even heard of that. They're like, what?
No, so that's exactly what I'm trying to say. It's that – so sometimes people will ask me about Mark Jackson. I'll tell them some stories that I – it's not – I didn't experience them. I just read them. And they'll be like, oh, man, you are an insider. And I'm just like, no, dude, I just read more crap than you. Uh-huh. Like, it's always my new thing is that, like, Twitter is not real life. Like, you go on Twitter and you read a bunch of stuff and you go and talk to, you know, take a sample of 10 of your friends. 9 of them have no idea what you just read on Twitter. Like, my girlfriend is on Twitter and she doesn't know half the stuff, the jokes that I make. Like, she'll be like, what are you, like, why are you laughing? And I'll tell her, and then she'll be like, that's not that funny. I'm like, no, you need to understand, like, these 5 things first before you understand why this is funny. Like, that type of stuff, right? And it's like, people just, like you're saying, people just aren't exposed, and they don't know, like, this type of thing. So when you explain to them, hey, you know, Mark Jackson was on a street corner preaching, like, a season, like, a month after this dude was fired, he was just on the corner, and he was just telling people, like, hey, you need to come to church, like, blah, 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 and people would be like, what, really? It's like, yeah, dude, there's a YouTube clip. Like, this was on Yahoo Sports.
I haven't even brought that up yet on the air, but My friends and I have been like sending that to each other for the past like 8 years. Like every couple of months. Yo, it's wild. I'm not even saying like don't be religious or whatever. I am not religious, but like,
no, exactly.
It's wild. It's just about time where we got to wrap things up. But one more question for you before I let you go. Since you're close to the Warriors and it's coming up on draft time, I'm going to try to say this with a straight face. Is Trae Young the next Steph Curry?
I love Trae Young.
Do you? I'm honestly like, I'm trying to figure out, I don't, like, I'm doing this podcast 5 days a week. I've never been a big college guy. So, like, it's always comes, I look up that shit at the end of the year. And this year more than ever, like, I've had, like, very little exposure to these guys. I'm starting to now, like, you know, do a lot of research. But do you like Trae Young? What do you think his deal is?
Listen, I'm not a college guy anymore either. I used to.
Okay.
Man, back when I started, back in my time, not really. But, like, back when I started covering hoop. Yeah, exactly. 5 years ago, I loved college. But this year, the only games that I've watched was Trae Young games, actually. Right. Outside of the March Madness games. But obviously because of his likeness to Steph. Not looks-wise, though, however.
No.
Just the way he plays. I like him. I like him a lot because I don't think he'll be Steph. Although it's a hard question to answer, mainly because Steph was not Steph when he was in college, and really right now Trae Young is better than what Steph was in college.
Interesting.
I think just in terms of his handle, Steph didn't really have a handle coming into the NBA. He worked on that thing, and Trae Young has a handle right now. Like, that guy's handle is legit. That's an NBA handle that he can do.
Okay.
And Steph didn't have that. And the way he can shoot, obviously Steph wasn't shooting. Even Steph wasn't shooting that far. Steph was more accurate. He's the greatest shooter ever. So you might not get any more accurate than that. But right. Trae Young could shoot, and he was doubled and tripled. And I saw that guy pass out of him. I also did see the only issue I have is the mentality with which he plays with that I'm worried about. That is not going to be like Steph. So in order to be like Steph, you need to be able to be selfless like him on the ball and off the ball. And I don't know if Trae Young can do that. And I don't know if he has the willingness to do that. I just don't know.
That's
so
interesting.
But he has the talent to be like Steph, though. So if that is someone that New York ends up taking, shoot. I mean, he'll be there, right?
Well, because people are saying, I mean, the mocks are all over. I've seen him at like 5. I've seen him at 10. Yeah. I mean, and I've been, like, I love Frank Ntilikina, but, you know, like, to me, the Knicks are so in that best player available territory, like, it's not even funny, like, they should, you know. And if they think and if they think someone, they don't have anyone other than Kristaps, but shit, man, like, if, you know, if you think you got the next Karl Anthony Towns or something, like, draft him, like, why not? I don't know. Like, to me, it's, they should just take whoever they think is great, but I didn't know if... With Trae Young, I couldn't figure out what... Because I heard, like, you know, once they started paying attention to him, his numbers went down and all that stuff. And
Yeah, and he played a team of scrubs, like Steph in college.
So yeah.
He passed into guys that couldn't finish and anything like that. So no, but I did watch him. And, I mean, from my rookie eye, I'm not a scout or anything.
Sure.
He does have that talent, though. He does. Like, he does have the ability to pull and shoot off. Like, shooting off the dribble is so huge. Like, everybody can try to... Like, you watch Dame Lillard right now. And the way that he's playing in the playoffs when people are focused on him, and he just can't do what Steph does, right? And that's probably the closest guy you have to Steph in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
And he can't shoot the way Steph does off the dribble. So, like, that's an impossible thing. And Trae has that. Like, he has the ability. He's so comfortable dribbling and shooting that's what I'm saying. Like, he has that type of talent. And then if you have him, I mean, just imagine for a second. If you run a pick and roll with Kristaps and Trae Young, you're sucking in the gravity to the point even the Warriors can't do that. Well, you can't. They can't. They have KD. But back then, like, you would have the gravity of Trae Young coming off a screen and shooting and Kristaps rolling or popping. That's a top 15 offense just by itself, right?
Woo! So. All right. You've convinced me. Oh, man.
I like him. That'd be fun. Him and Kristaps. And then you can play Ntilikina, too, and you can have him.
Here's the thing. Like, Ntilikina came in 6'5". They say he grew an inch during the season. If he's, like, 6'7", he's 19 still. He's going to be 19 until August. He's got, like, wide-ass shoulders. I could see him putting on a lot of muscle. And I could see him being, like, a 6'7", like, point forward. Like, point small forward. Like, he... Because he does have, like, some... He's got some serious point guard skills, I think. I think he's got great vision. So like, if he could just be like an initiator out of like the three spot or the two spot, and then you've also got Trae Young, like maybe Timmy comes off the bench, whatever, you know, like it's like,
That'd be good. I think if, I mean, you want him, so you think that Frankie, he'd have to be like Andre Iguodala. That's your high, that's your like, that's the high upside, right? He's long, he can handle, he can play, make, and he can defend.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That'd be perfect. I mean, Iguodala's the, watch this guy play. He's like the perfect.
I don't think he'll ever, how big is Iguodala? He feels smaller than, I mean, much bigger than
he's
that.
He's bigger than 6'5", 6'6". He's like 6'8", and six, a little bit taller. But he, yeah, and again, he's like all muscle.
Right, so, I mean, he's thick. But Ntilikina, he looks like, if like look up, do some Google image search on after this. He's got some wide-ass shoulders. Like, I could see him getting real thick. Like, you always see those rookie pictures, and he's super young, yeah. 19. I could see him getting big. So, yeah, I mean, I think he can definitely move down a position or two, still use his point guard skills, but D up 1-3. He's going to be first team all defense 1 year. I'm telling you. But that's a good, nice, positive note to end on after bashing someone for, after dragging someone for 35 minutes. So, Andy, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything that you want to pump up while you're here? You want to shout out?
No. I don't write too much. I write on Warriors World, but I mean, for those who listen, don't worry about my writing. Just, you can just follow me on Twitter, AndyKHLou. It's, I always have a fun time on there bullshitting. So James knows.
It's true.
I wish we could talk longer. It's always fun, man. So I appreciate you having me on.
Oh yeah, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to keep it shorter these days. So I got to respect the wishes of corporate. But thank you. And yes, Andy is like, he might be the only guy ever who not only can I tolerate, who's like such an annoying fan of their team, but like, he's so funny with how annoying he is with his team. Like, I don't know what, you've got the magic. You've got it. I don't know.
You just got to have fun, man. Like you're saying, people want to be right all the time. You got to have fun.
That's what it is. You're having fun. That's it. All right. Thanks, dude.
All right, man. Take care, bro.
That was great. Love talking to Andy. I hope I didn't take things too far with my bias. I hope you guys still want to listen to the show, you know? And I want to thank you for listening to the show. That's it for us for today. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the program. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Be nice. Just do as I say, not as I do. To Mark Jackson. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And always salt the pasta water. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!